Okay. Yeah, I don't know why in the beginning of the call I was on and it kicked me off within like the first 2 minutes. I don't know why it keeps doing that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're back. We're back. Alex, I was going to ask you another question here about your deal. Let
Okay.
me see here. I noticed you were going with a 2,000 earnest money deposit.
I changed it to 1,000.
Wait, what's that?
I changed it to 1,000. I was talking to the other Alex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is that all right, or?
It's entirely up to you. Like I said, it's either going to be, typically it's anywhere between 1,000.
Hello? Hello?
I think it's disconnecting him.
Oh.
He should be right back.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what's going on. I keep getting kicked out of this out of the conference room. I don't know why. Alex, last thing we were saying was non-refundable deposit. You brought it back down to 1,000, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And typically, there's actually, what is it? My House Deals. Have you ever heard of this website, myhousedeals.com?
No. My house
No.
deal? Nah.
It's a website that there's a lot of wholesalers on it, and typically it's going to come up in your searches at some point. Like everyone I talk to ends up finding this website, and they end up, asking me about it and should they market to it, should they sign up for it. It's just, they do a lot of marketing, and especially if you're wholesaling. There's a lot of wholesalers on here, and they actually have a platform where you can post your property. It's, I wouldn't say, because I think you and I have chatted about connected investors, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as, it's, I wouldn't say it's, I don't even know what the right word is for this. But I would say connected investors is more of a free, engaging environment. This environment, you're going to find that there's a lot more people who are going for like non-refundable earnest money deposits, anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen and heard. And sometimes it's like they're usually in typically hotter markets where these properties are coming from. And so because it's such a hotter market, they want higher earnest money deposits because they want to see how serious the buyer is. So again, to answer your question about the EMD, I think of it that way. Is it be you know is the de is the demand so great that you want the money is the earnest money deposit money is gonna if it goes up, it's just a barrier to entry. It's like saying, hey, how serious are you about this property? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
that's really what it is. Typically, I see anywhere between 1,000 to 2,000, but the higher that number, and you will see or hear actually, you'll hear a lot of like $5,000 non-refundable earnest money deposits from myhousedeals.com, that's just me saying it. Wait until you experience it, because you'll probably, because you can find deals on there. There's other wholesalers like wholesaling deals on there. There are properties you could post your property on there. This question has come up also. What about partnering with other wholesalers from this website? Again, I would say the people that are on there are probably a little bit more aggressive because they're in like the major cities than they are, mm-hmm. as in maybe Connected Investors is a more open and I don't know. I guess I don't know if the word I don't know what the right word is. I'm not going to say laid back, but it's more open and less aggressive, I think, is the better word. Less aggressive.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
think,
because I've been on the phone with some wholesalers from myhousedeals.com, and it's like it's like no joke. I mean, I can understand being in the inner city, but they really play hardball on that website for sure.
So what about question? Connected Investors? Should I advertise my property on that as well?
You could advertise on it, but I mean, yeah, you could post the property and but also building the relationships and connections with people in those areas, right? And you know, because Connected Investors is like that is like a social site, you can add people, you know, you can make friends on their site and add a friend and all that stuff. So there's that opportunity. There's Facebook groups. Now, you were setting up a Facebook business page, right? I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah, I was trying to, but I haven't yet. I was looking up how to do
it. Yeah. Even if you don't do the business page, that's fine. You can take your personal profile and you can jump into certain groups. Like I call them micro groups. So instead of like, what you don't want to do is like jump in a national group, because then it's just way too big. And yeah, you might get someone who's in that area, but it's better if you go maybe to a state group or even a city group. Let's say Birmingham wholesalers group, right? You jump in that group and then you do a posting in that group. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. A little bit more target focused, the market focused based on the property. And even for the property that's a little, you know, 1 hour away, mm-hmm. that's okay too. Even if you jump into Montgomery, a group in Montgomery, a group in Alabama, again, someone might know someone in that market, or they may be personally interested for that market, but there's no, let's say, Facebook group for that particular little town, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
And did you see that article I sent you, by the way, about
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
did you see that?
Yeah, about the Toyota.
Yeah. Toyota Mazda plant. That's going to be huge. That's going to be, you know, if all of that goes through and if it does go into Huntersville, that's just a great thing to see. Now, you know, this is something I learned a long time ago. When it comes to real estate, when it comes to real estate, everything happens with the government first. Everything. Mm-hmm. You look at what the government does to attract jobs, right? So it's government, not just federal level, but on a state level. So you look at what are they doing to create jobs from a state level to a city level. And when you see tax incentives, like I'm sure if you were to dive a little deeper, I didn't. On that article about, you know, them Toyota moving to Huntsville, I didn't do the tax research. But if you dig deeper, you can even call the Huntsville, you know, planning department, and you can find out that data because it's public. You can find out what the tax incentive is for them to move their plant to that area. You know, and what happens is there's almost sometimes like a little bat. I don't know if it's a battle, but sometimes it can be. Sometimes little state cities will battle over rates and what they can offer them. They'll put in their bids and say, hey, if you move to Montgomery, we'll give you 0% tax for 5 years. And then Huntsville says, hey, if you move to our area, we'll give you 0% tax for 15 years, right? So I share that with you because it starts on a state or government level. Okay. Starts on a government level. You see the jobs come in. Well, guess what? that like we saw there, they're looking to be hiring people. So all the real estate in that area is going to grow, yeah. Right? It's just going to start creating shops. It's going to grow on a, could be a building, you know, development level. It could be, it's going to be apartments for sure. That's always an indicator. Apartments, whenever there's job growth in the area, people always rent in those areas. And then it's going to turn into single family housing, developments, right? So, and it, now listen, if it's in a really rundown city, this is something to keep in mind with rehabbing real estate. And if you're doing wholesaling,
mm-hmm.
Let's say this is like, for an example, I'm working with a student out in Camden, New Jersey. Camden, New Jersey is the probably number two or number three worst city in the country. It's like right behind Chicago. It's just, they're drug infested. I mean, it boarded up houses everywhere. Well, the government wants to revitalize it, so they're creating tax incentives. But the thing is, the land layout, like the real estate already in the area, is already set up for apartments. There's already a lot of apartment buildings in that area, whether it's three families or two families. So with the development that's coming in, there's going to be a lot of rehabbing in apartments. However, if you look at, let's say Huntsville, if they're building that plant in out in the rural area, there may not be apartments that are going to be built or revitalized. It may be new development. So that may be a construction gig. Either way, people are going to rent. People are going to buy real estate because they're going to move to where the jobs are. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
Yeah. So that's why I sent that over to you, because that's a perfect indicator. And, you know, I found that just because of I'm always connected to tech, that's in my tech search. I'm not tapped into Alabama real estate at all. So I don't get any news alerts about Alabama real estate, but that came under my tech news update for real estate. And what you should do in any market, and I'll give you an example for Charlotte, for example, I'm a part of, I get all the information for Charlotte, North Carolina, South Carolina, and then also some of the smaller cities down in South Carolina, is you don't want to go with the big web, you want to find the local community news sites. For example, Charlotte has a website called Charlotte Stories, charlottestories.com. And actually, if you go to that website and check it out, they have a real estate section. But everything on that website is about stuff that's happening in Charlotte. And when you go into the real estate section, it's talking about the growth, what's happening, what's coming in, what's being developed, what's being sold, what's being bought. So you're going to want to do the same thing for the markets that you're investing in, right? For Birmingham,
uh-huh.
For Montgomery, for Huntsville, right? Whatever market you're in, you want to be gathering that data, because that data is insight to, you know, when they mention someone's name, for example, if a local paper, a local news article says a person's name is the director of the planning department, well, guess what? You just find out who his name is and how he feels about the situation and what actions he's taken. Then you can make contacts with those people. You know, you can say, hey, you know, that's awesome. That's great. You're doing great work. However you want to build a relationship, whether it's on a government level or whether it's on a real estate level, it really comes down to those relationships. For sure.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I know I kind of rambled on there for a minute, but that's why I sent you that. And it's important to know about the market that you're investing in.
No, yeah. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just got, like we talked about, I got to narrow my, where I'm going to buy properties,
Right.
I guess it's kind of because I work in a hospital, so it's kind of people, they stick to their profession, one specific profession, in a sense. It's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Well, to match what you're saying,
to special
personally, I like to buy only in areas that have military nearby, military bases. Yeah, for example, I buy in Jacksonville, North Carolina, military base. Fort Bragg down in Fayetteville, that's another military base, right? So I like military communities. Now, that doesn't mean the people that are buying my houses are military personnel, because they usually rent more than they do but purchase and live, because they're only there a short period of time, like 3 years or 5 years. But the community in and around that area tends to be a certain way that I like it, and the houses are a certain size. You know, there's a certain demographic in that area. So those are the things I look for in that regard. So, yeah, you just gotta find something that you really connect with, and that will be so. No matter where you go, like for example, when I was buying like military style like communities in South Carolina, it was very easy for me to shift up to Jacksonville, North Carolina, and then easy to shift over to Fayetteville. Why? Because I knew the market. I knew like the type of client I was looking for. I knew the type of area. It's very usually going to be the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like you said, it's super important to narrow down your market, because if you're all over the state, it gets a lot more difficult, especially to build a buyer's list like you're experiencing with your properties. So even though you may find a good deal, right, you may get a slamming deal, like you've gotten a slamming deal, but now it's over there, and how, you know, can you sell it quickly or operate some exit strategy that's going to make you a profit in a good time frame.
Yeah.
So.
I know. I'm actually like thinking, because this realtor's kind of being difficult. You know, how am I supposed, if he doesn't give me the lockbox, how am I supposed to get my buyers in there to take a look at it, you know? So I'm trying to think if I have to purchase it for a month or something, how am I going to do it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you might not have to get that far. Most important, I think what you'll experience is as soon as you start getting some buyers over there, what's going to happen, it's probably pretty much going to change the game. If it gets really close, then you might want to take a form of action like that. But I think as soon as you get some buyers over there, create that traction, you're going to see like the interest pick up pretty quickly. So, I think you'll be okay, and you won't even have to get to that point. But if you do, I'm glad you're already thinking about that, because you do have a great deal. It's just a matter of, you know, the buyers in time. Get the buyers in time to make sure it closes, or use a different exit strategy. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. First and foremost is getting the property marketed out there, and start getting some bites on it. You know, that's the next step. Yeah. So, Alex, did you have any other questions? Because I'm going to just open it up one more time for anyone else on the call.
No.
Did you have any other questions? No. Okay. All right. Okay. So, Alex, by the way, thank you so much for sharing that and jumping on the call today. Does anyone else have any questions they want to jump in and add or go over a deal? Okay. All right, so let me wrap up this call by saying and reminding everyone, this is the first call of the new year for the deal analysis call, which is the second Wednesday of each month at 12 p.m. Now, on the fourth Wednesday, we'll come back again, fourth Wednesday of the month of each month at 12 p.m. We're going to do the seller and or buyer call. That's where if you want me to call someone, I don't know how that's going to work out with technology yet at the moment, but we'll figure it out. That's where if you want me to call someone on your behalf, or we can go over an experience that you had with a buyer or a seller and kind of go over that together live on the call. We will do that on that call. So second Wednesday of each month at 12 p.m. deal analysis call, fourth Wednesday of each month, 12 p.m. seller or buyer call, and I'll be the one going with you moving forward for these calls, and really looking forward to it. So Sorry for the technical difficulties today. Hopefully we can get that straightened out for the next call. And then I'll see you on the fourth. Next one will be the fourth Wednesday of January. All right, everyone, take care and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, 43.